Hello, Henry and Steve here, and we're pretty excited about this topic, how to lead a Bible study.
So, what is a Bible study?
Good question.
And a simple answer, any gathering where the Bible is used.
You know, I want to comment on something even before we start. You know, we went to Calvin Seminary, and honestly, through the 4 years that I went there to study, we never asked the simple question, what is the Bible?
I think
the whole thing was this deep, incredible ministry training Bible study, but what is a Bible study?
In some ways, I think, because, you know, back then, Bible studies were not that big of a deal.
Okay.
Both of us were raised in sort of traditional churches.
Yep.
And a lot of our families, extended families, went to these churches. And that was true for a lot of the people that went to the church. And so a Bible study or small group was really an extended family.
Right.
After church, we would go to our cousin's house, or we would go to my grandma and grandpa's house, and we had, in some ways, a little informal Bible study.
Every week, I had that same thing.
Right, and so I think a lot of families did that, but then as life, you know, people moved around, you know, freeways came in, people moved out of the cities, and now one, you know, cousin's over here, someone's over there, and then that stopped happening, and so churches found that they weren't connecting, and all of a sudden they thought, we got to get small groups going in our church, and we got to have Bible studies. And so maybe we missed, you know, the seminary is like maybe 10, 15, 20 years behind what's needed.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we even had Bible study every day. My dad read the Bible every day and all of that. So that's probably why I never really paid attention to it.
Right, right.
Okay.
Acts 2:42. This is the start of the New Testament church. Pentecost happens. Peter preaches a sermon. All kinds of people become believers. And this is at the end of that. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer. And we read there that they did it every day.
Yeah.
They were like having a Bible study every single day.
It's interesting. I actually looked at the word devoted. It's like devotions.
Yeah.
Actually, there is a pattern.
Right.
You know, a habit of walking that was part of their walk.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
That's cool. Okay. Well, why study the Bible? You learn about God, you learn about yourself, you learn about the world. I mean, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures God breathed in is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God will be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
You know, something else that has recently struck me in life about studying the Bible is it helps you look at all of creation and interpret God's finger in creation too, how he made the world, and you see the creation account in Genesis, and you see a human fall, and you see, you know, the restoration in Jesus Christ, the Old and New Testament, and especially in these times when we devote ourselves to the Bible, we can start interpreting all of creation and see the finger of God, the fingers of the Lord everywhere.
Right.
So when studying the Bible, it has implications not for just your personal salvation.
Right, right.
It has implications for
everything. For everything. Business.
Everything.
Society. What's going on in our culture today.
Right.
It's all there.
It's all there.
I majored in psychology, you know, in college.
College, yeah.
And when I was done, and then I went to seminary, I started reading the Bible more, I thought the Bible had more stuff that had everything to do with why people do what they do than all the psychology classes I took.
Well, and I did philosophy as my major, and I thought, whoa, the Bible is the core, irresistible self-evidence. You live out the Bible and you see it's true. You see the fallen nature of humanity. Right. You know, psychology and philosophy talk about the goodness of man, and they talk about tabula rasa and all that stuff. But the reality is the Bible sees the truth.
Right. And it's all right there in the stories, every aspect of it.
So it's really awesome.
All right. So number two, you connect.
There you go.
Deuteronomy 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, mm-hmm. when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The Word of God is not just informing you of things.
Right.
It's actually connecting you to people,
wow.
to your family, friends, helping you in your connection to God. So it's not just about informing.
So it really threads into yeah. everything and every relationship that you have.
Right.
Pretty awesome.
Number three, support.
Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
So it supports you, it supports your marriage, it supports your family. Yeah.
Powerful.
Yes. And the last one, challenge. Why study the Bible? It will challenge you.
Hebrews 4, verse 12. This is a powerful passage. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, what I was talking about when I studied psychology. I was always interested in why people do what they do.
Right.
Okay. But when I started reading the Bible, it not only explained to me why people around me did what they did, but it explained why I did what I did. It was like
right.
this sword, like, you know, it's like a mirror, and all of a sudden you see behind, behind the mask. You know, we spend, just like Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they hid from God.
Yeah.
Oh, we all do that. We all put our masks, we all create an image and so on. And when you read the Bible, the Bible has a way of getting behind the scenes and helping you see what's really going on. And sometimes that leads to confession. Sometimes that leads to just wonder, like, you know, what life is all about.
Yeah. I was theologically thinking about this point this week, Steve, weirdly enough. I mean, how sometimes a trained minister mind thinks about their studies. And it occurred to me, you know, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it goes on in John 1 to talk about that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we know the Word is Jesus Christ.
Right.
So when it's just not true because the words of the Bible are trustworthy, handed down, canonical, infallible, all that, but it's true because it's very personal. Christ Jesus himself, mm-hmm. in a relationship with him, when the words of Scripture are studied,
right.
his voice speaks into our life.
I think that, because I hear so many times people talk about God in sort of a, God is out there, he's a
right.
higher being.
Right.
But they don't do the personal thing.
Right.
But I tell you, if you read the Bible, all of a sudden God becomes personal.
Yeah.
And
he does show up.
Yeah. And it seems to me mm-hmm. that if God isn't personal, then we don't even have to deal with him.
Right.
You don't even have to think of it. He exists, but why even bother?
Yeah.
It's because he is personal. Because you can talk to him. Because he will talk to you. Because he does enter into our lives.
Yes, he does. So very, very powerful.
All right. Let's go to the next one. Where to study the Bible? Well, you can do it at home. You can do it at church. You can do it in your business.
Right.
You can do it in the coffee shop. In other words, you can study the Bible anywhere.
Yeah, the internet.
There's a group that I know that have a little Bible study in a restaurant, in the bar section of a restaurant.
Right.
And that's where they do a bunch of singing and
right.
they study the Bible.
I have a group that I meet with in Florida in the summer online on Zoom. And then I'm in person there during the winter.
Right.
So I think these are exciting times for starting to imagine
right.
what we could do for Bible study.
Right. All right, so when to study the Bible? Before work?
Yeah.
Lunchtime? Saturday morning? The evening? Sunday. In other words, of course you can study the Bible at any time of the day, but the important thing is you have to find some place, some schedule.
Right.
If you just say, well, I'm going to study the Bible and we'll see what happens this week, well, good luck, because
right.
generally a week will go by and you haven't done it.
So you're talking about the habit.
Yes.
It's really late. I mean, it is fascinating what you're saying, because this Florida habit, this Bible study I'm talking about, because it's a habit, I mean, it has really great attendance. We've gone through the old,
right.
many books of the Old Testament, many books of the New
yes.
Testament, but if we didn't have it Thursday morning
right.
at 7:15,
right.
where the Zoom link is there and
yeah.
we're meeting in person,
right.
I mean, I would say
right.
that we probably
right.
had a long quit.
And if you miss, someone's going to say, Henry, where were you last
yeah,
week?
Yeah, our leader, John, is real like, ooh, I see you didn't come today.
Right.
Are you okay?
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's
right.
those kinds of things that make all the things in our lives that we can sort of stick to. You own your own house, and if you're married, you own your house, and because of that, you see your wife, and
right.
that helps you have
a
great marriage. It's a structure.
Yes.
So you have to find some structure, or soon you won't be doing it.
It's powerful stuff.
All right, with whom do you study the Bible? Well, of course, your personal. You should
right.
you should read the Word of God for your own personal
connection, one we call it around here.
For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. Okay, so when you're doing it in personal, how does this work?
Well, for me, I connect it to waking up in the morning.
Okay.
I have my little schedule, and
okay.
then, read the Bible.
Connection two, marriage. So if you're married,
mm-hmm.
God is the most significant thing in your life, all right?
Yeah.
And if you're married, your spouse is the most significant
person.
Your
relationship with God is the most important
yes.
thing in your life.
And then the second most important, if you're married, is your spouse.
Right.
So why not connect those two?
Yeah.
Right? Like you're both listening to God. Now your wife may have her own time with the Lord.
Right. Her own
but it's
with
unique when you come together. Hey, what has the Lord been saying to you? What has the Lord been saying? You can
yeah, it's interesting. When the next one's connection three.
Yeah.
And we used to, when the family was at home,
yeah.
we would have a dinner time and read
yeah.
there. But now, and then my wife and I would, before we go to bed,
right.
share a scripture.
Right.
Now we tend to, when we eat together, open the Word of God.
Yeah, right.
And then we pray at night before we go to bed.
Right.
But it's different yeah. times in life, but there's still
right.
a structure.
Right. Like when the kids are little, you have to put them to bed. You might as well pray with them, read
right.
Yeah. one of the children's Bibles
yeah.
or something
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. But soon you're not putting them to bed.
Right.
So now you have to find another time.
Yeah.
A lot of families aren't eating together anymore
right.
because all
right.
the conflicting
yeah.
schedules. So what are you going to do?
Right.
You have to find your way. If you want God at the center of your family, then you have to find
right.
a way to put him there.
Right.
And then connection four with friends. You're talking about
small
this
groups,
group that
yeah.
you have in Florida.
Yeah.
It's a group of friends. Connection five, church. In some ways, the church service is like a Bible study.
It is a Bible study.
It's like a big Bible
it's
study.
A, yeah. Well, it has a lot of people.
Yeah.
You've got some singing that they
yeah.
do with it, which
yeah.
is part of often listening or talking to God.
Right.
Depending
right.
on if you're singing a hymn, you're
yeah.
listening to God, you're singing a
yeah.
praise song, you're talking to God.
Yes.
Prayers, very interesting.
Yeah. Connection. Kingdom is what God is doing just beyond your church. Like,
right.
what is God doing in the world? So in a way, what you're doing right now is sort of a kingdom connection.
Right.
And so just learning about Bible studies or... let's say you have an event in your town with all the churches, and in a way it's like a Bible study with all these churches. Or maybe you have a group in your town where you meet with the leaders and you discuss things and you pray together. Again, it's like having a Bible study outside of your church, and we need that too.
Well, I also like about this connection, how this connection is the one that talks about Bible studies. And about the theology of God. It talks about things like theology is really a kingdom activity
right.
where groups of people that did groups of Bible studies connect
yeah.
their learnings. And
yeah.
so in the history of the church, the concept of Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, came out of a almost a farm system of Bible studies. Right. And finally, at the Major League Council, they decided that God is one God being three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which really was a kingdom gathering of many Bible studies over many centuries, or three centuries, to come up with that. And now today, that's established doctrine. We believe Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the teaching of the Bible, which came out of a complicated Bible study process.
Right. And and then all of that is in a course. Let's say you take a course on theology here at Christian Leaders.
Right.
You're actually involved in a Bible study.
In
a Bible study, not only with, let's say, Dr. Fettes teaches you about theology.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not just having a Bible study with Dr. Fettes. He's quoting scripture. But he's talking about other thoughts and ideas that other Christians, so it's like a Bible study with
centuries of Bible study.
Right. So that's sort of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And then we have Connection 7, which is a Bible study with people who perhaps don't go to church or maybe don't even believe in the Bible.
Right,
study.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time you have a discussion with someone and you throw in things from the Bible, that person is inadvertently having a Bible study with you.
Right.
So, in a sense, evangelism is a Bible study.
And that also can be the Bible itself, or reading the Bible, or the interpretation of reality through the biblical lens is also bringing a Bible study to people.
Right.
So it is a powerful, powerful thing.
Right. So what you will learn in this class, you will learn how to lead and manage a group, a Bible study group. You will learn how to write your own Bible study.
Wow, that's pretty good.
You will learn how to use prayer effectively in the Bible study. You will learn how to use food and fellowship.
Nothing wrong with food and fellowship.
No. All right, so that's it. So welcome aboard. This is sort of the intro session, and then we're going to get right at it in the next session.